Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. I know everyone enjoyed the 60-plus panel discussion of Thad Carhart's enjoyable memoir, The Piano Shop on the Left Bank. One listener even sent my wife and I an anniversary card. Thank you for that. This person said how much they enjoy hearing our discussions on the radio, and Deborah and I do very much enjoy sharing our views on great literature. But we also enjoy discussing books with Mr. Daryl Hope as well. So we're just looking forward to a great summer ahead of us, and we'll be talking about that more as we go along. But before we move into Country Driving, A Chinese Road Trip by Peter Hessler, I want to give you some final insights, and maybe I should say my thoughts on The Piano Shop. And today what I want to do is I want to talk about this book as a masterclass for life. If you've heard some of the earlier programs, you know that Ryan Malone and I talked about that, but I just feel like we need to give it a little more attention. Now, to get ready for this program, I've been rereading parts of the book, and there are so many ways this book can be used to inspire young people and adults, and I think especially senior adults. Now, obviously, the book is chock full of wisdom specifically for piano students, and I mean young piano students, also teenage piano students, and yet also adult piano students. And I think that Carhart makes a really good point. It's the kind of book, and it's not just for those who want to make music as a career, but for those who simply enjoy piano music. Maybe we could call all of you out there that like that or who are like that. Maybe we could just call you the piano tinkers. And I just feel like all of us probably have something in our life that we like to tinker at, but we probably don't really go after it maybe like we could. Now, I was reading some reviews of this book to get ready for this program, and often what I'll do is I'll read the comments that readers of the review say. So if you look at a review, generally they'll put in comments from Twitter or maybe comments from somewhere else, or even their blog or their webpage has a place where you can make comments. And I think they're almost as interesting as the review itself. But here's what one person said about this book, and it went something like this. He says, "Beware reading this book. It will make you want to buy a piano." And so I think that's true. It has motivated my wife and I to have our piano tuned and fixed, and I know I've always wanted to take some piano lessons. I've tinkered with the guitar. I'm in the process of tinkering with the penny whistle from Ireland, and But I just want to say that I feel like this book has motivated us to do a lot more than just that. And in fact, I'll just be personal with you. I believe that this book has helped me to reevaluate my life as I move closer to my senior years. Now, that might sound like a funny statement, but I don't believe senior years really begin until age 80. And that will be 15 years from this May. Now, if you look at like senior citizens guides, and it's kind of amazing. And to me, it seems like they capture or they want to capture things earlier. Like AARP says that you can begin to be a senior at 50. I think some of the restaurants start at like 55, and I certainly don't believe in that. And I think I know even 65 is too young, but I have to admit, I'll take advantage of the discounts they give. So why not take advantage of it? But I think it's amazing. Carhart really does set us an example. And I'm talking about those of us that, well, people may consider a senior or maybe we're approaching our senior years. But it is an amazing book, and it's amazing because of Carhartt, I think. He did have a very successful career in business. Now he was involved in writing, he was involved in business organizations. So this isn't necessarily in other words, The Piano Shop isn't necessarily his first piece of writing. So he did have experience with writing. But he loved writing so much. He was motivated by wanting to write. He really was courageous enough to set out on a new career. In other words, he quit his job in business and he said, "Look, I want to be a freelance writer." And of course, The Piano Shop isn't his only book. He has, you know, several other ones that are also bestsellers. So I think that says a lot for him and his ability to actually write a book like The Piano Shop, because it is, I think, it's a very motivating memoir. It's not just a memoir. It motivates whoever reads it to do something. And certainly, I think the way our scholastic system has been developed over the years is young people are encouraged to, well, try and learn the piano. So a lot of people in this country and really in Western world have had exposure to pianos or other instruments. And so that's what's really exciting. He was not only motivated to set on a new career, he started that new career, then he also decided to go back to the piano and take up piano lessons, and you know, which he had stopped as a teen. And I know there are a lot of people that do that. You know, our daughters were very much involved in music. I've said this before on the programs. Our oldest two daughters were involved. They really liked jazz kind of music, and they played a sax and a barry sax. And my oldest daughter sang in that little group they had in high school, and she's become really kind of a trained singer even today, although she does most of it with choirs and things like that. But if you look at what Carhartt did, you know, he quit his business, he became a writer, and then what he does is he writes a best-selling book that makes people want to go out and buy a piano. And so I think he's proved his success in business. He's also proved himself as a writer, because it's only the good writers that can really motivate people to do things. And I think this book is a proof that he's a great writer. And by the way, writing is a very tough profession. Writing is the hardest of work. And I know that because I've been a writer for all my career. And I started out young at 23, and so I've been writing, you know, for 40-some years, and it is the hardest work. It takes a lot of concentration. It takes a lot of focus. It takes a lot of research. And so, but the point is that I want to make to all of our listeners out there, this book shows what can be done by an adult that has enough motivation to do it. And that's what I think is the marvel about this book, and I think it's what's really stirring about the book. That there's so many people, I think, in this world that when you get into maybe more of the senior years, you kind of get a wrong focus. And I think society tends to impose that on us. In other words, when you hear, you know, like AARP say, well, you're ready for your senior years at 50. Or if Denny's, you know, gives you free or, I'd say, less expensive food if you're 55, you know, or if this happens when you're 60, it can really tend to you know, make you think, well, I'm getting to be seniors. I can't do as much. Even in business, they do want people to, I think it's maybe changing a little bit, but they do want people to think about retirement earlier, and that's because, you know, they can get older people out of the job market and get new people in. And I think that's really, really quite sad. And I know there was a time when I had to start looking for maybe, let's say, some work at an older age, and I was just passed over because of my age. There was no consideration of how talented I was, or no consideration of you know, some other things like that. And so really, our society is really, I think it's too tough on on, let's say, maybe older people when there's still a lot of vitality, there's still a lot of life left. And, you know, we just have to think about it. I mean, even the idea of retirement is really somewhat gross. Why do you have to retire just because you're getting into your 60s or your 70s or even your 80s? I mean, there's some people obviously do have severe health problems, but what if you are a vital person? What if you have taken care of your health? What if you at 80 you can get out and teach, you know, physical exercise? I was just reading an article about there's an 80-year-old physical education instructor. He looks like he's about 50. And so there's a lot you can do as an adult if you have enough motivation. And here's the first point I want to make for this session of JBL. And here's why I recommend this book, and especially I'm talking to our senior, more of our senior adults, but really it's anybody, whether you're a teenager, whether you're a young person. I know that we use this book in our eighth grade here at Imperial Academy. But this book can help you change your thinking on what you can do, not what you can't do. And I just feel it's a great piece of literature, but it's also, I think it's a great self-help book. And it really does teach a lot about music, obviously. But in previous programs with Ryan Malone, I did mention that I thought chapter 11 was one of the most motivating chapters in the book. And I also think chapter 20 on master classes is probably the most profitable one in the book. Now, chapter 11 is called Lessons. And I think these are, probably the two most, let's say, important chapters when we're talking about, evaluating yourself on what you can and what you can't do. There's a lot more that you can do with your life. I don't care if you are 65, 70, 75, or 80. And there's a lot of people around to prove that you can be very vital and really contribute to society even at 80. But in chapter 11, Carhart does talk about that he wanted to get back to piano playing, and but he did it for a reason. It's not because he wanted to be a concert pianist. It wasn't because he wanted to make himself a superstar. He wanted to get back to piano playing because he loved it when he was a child. And I think it's not so much that he was wanting to capture, let's say, his childhood, or maybe he missed something in his childhood, because to me, when I read the memoir, it seems like he had a great childhood and had a great family, but it's like he missed something he loved. So if you have your book there in front of you, let's go to page 112, and I do think there's just some really, really great things in here. So he wanted to go back to piano playing, but there was a unique way he went about it. And I think this is really important for all of us, even as we mature and, like I said, as we approach our senior years, is that Carhart realized that he was going to need a teacher. And that's I think, the reason or the way or why he became even so successful as a writer. And I'll talk about this more as we get into some things. But he recognized that even if he wanted to just get back to music because he loved it, he still believed he needed to be taught. And I think that's where a lot of adults make the mistake. There is a humility that we have if we're going to, learn things. And we should all still be learning, I think. Even till the day we die, we should be learning. And that's one thing that my father-in-law, he's really set a great example in that. I've mentioned this before. Even at 92, he was wanting me to come and talk to him about Shakespeare and reading Shakespeare. And he told me, he was very sick, he couldn't walk anymore, but he said, I'd really like to take a class in Shakespeare. Well, we should do that. We should want to do those things. But here he is on page 112 talking about why he wanted to go back to the piano and how he was going to go back. He said, I wanted to make the most of whatever had remained to me from my childhood studies and gradually work on filling in the large areas in which I was ignorant or lacking confidence, such as sight reading and harmony. I was even ready to hear that I would have to start over as a rank beginner, but not before a competent musician had properly analyzed my status. So there's an important point there, I think. You know, if there is something that you enjoyed as a child, but you've moved away from it because life happened. I mean, life does happen. We get employed. We have to keep our jobs. We have children. We have to raise our children. I mean, that's how life does kind of interfere with what we want to do. But Carhartt, I believe, shows us in a really masterful way that you can add a quality back into your life if you just step out and do it. And he did it. But he realized he was going to need help doing it. Now, I know I've mentioned before that before I started reading this book, I really wanted to get back into drawing and painting. Now, I had won awards for art in my elementary and high school years. But when I got to college, I chose not to pursue it any further because I didn't want a career as an artist, and mostly because one art teacher that I had in college, they just were so odd and a little bit weird, and I just didn't feel like I wanted to be that way. But I still dabbled at it throughout the years. But then about a year ago, maybe it's a little bit longer, I did purchase an online course because I wanted to get back into drawing and painting for my own mental growth. And, you know, as a writer, and I do teach, I teach Shakespeare and I teach English language literature, but I also write for two magazines. I mean, it is kind of draining on your mind because you have to focus so much, and choosing the right words is work. It's a lot of effort. But when I do art, or if I, you know, try and capture something, you know, on a piece of paper, and right now I'm working with charcoal. I had never worked with charcoal before, and it's really different. But you get such a rich look from it. It's really quite pleasing to see it all take place. Now, like Carhartt, you know, I may never show or sell a piece of art that I create, but I still will have that great satisfaction for doing it. And it really does kind of rest my mind from focusing on writing. And so that's important. And if you want to do something, why not step out and do it? And if you want to do something well, I mean, maybe you want to take a language. Well, if you want to study French, you're going to need a French teacher. And the one thing I really liked about what Carhartt says is, even going back to Anna and learning from a piano teacher, he was able to get rid of his inhibitions and his insecurity about it. And when you're an adult, you really should be able to throw out those inhibitions and insecurities. You know, young children sometimes can't learn things because, well, they don't want to look bad, or they don't want to look bad in front of their friends. And I had a horrible experience with math. That's why I was horrible at math, because I was so embarrassed by a teacher. And, you know, those things happen to children. But here's also what he says on page 112. He says, most important, though, I wanted to change the basic approach that I had known as a boy, escape the form of genteel tyranny I had encountered with Miss Pemberton, and be forthright with my teacher. There would be no expectation of a career or even recitals, no promise of undiscovered talent waiting to be fulfilled. The bargain would be clearer this time, I decided, and more personal. I choose pieces that would deepen the pleasure I found in music and that enlarged my sense of the world. Now, that really resonated with me because that's exactly why I wanted to get back to drawing and painting. But I did have to learn some lessons, and I'm really glad I'm taking this art course online because of the way the teacher teaches. And there is really a certain humility that you have if you're going to go back and learn something. But even that has great value for people. We need to be taught things, and if we slip into the attitude that, well, we know everything, then, well, we're never going to learn anything. And even that's even brought out in the book. But I was really impressed that Carhartt had the humility to know that he needed a teacher. And to me, that just brings me to the second point of why I think you should read this book. If you want to tackle something in your older years, you still need a teacher. And let's go to that master classes chapter on page 208. And again, this is not only great writing, but there's a lot of wisdom in this. And I'm learning it myself. I know even when I was taking art classes in college, but also in high school, there are certain things I thought I knew better than the teacher. And I had a really great art teacher, and she was very patient and would show me how wrong I was. And so here's what he writes. This is chapter 20, Master Classes. This is what he writes on page 208. He says, "Re-entering the world of the piano as an adult gradually brought me a series of revelations about the practice of self-discipline. None more telling than when I had witnessed the methods of two acknowledged masters in the field. During the first several months of my lessons with Anna, I rediscovered the simple joy of having a teacher." And, there are teachers, I think, that we do, have memories of. I can remember a biology teacher. I just really enjoyed her, and her husband would have a lot of the students over, and we'd have sit around and maybe eat cookies and, drink soft drinks with her, and it was a lot of fun. But there really is a certain joy of being taught. Now, he brings out here on the same page that there's a great reason for having a teacher. And he just continues. He says, "There are people in this world who are true autodidacts at the keyboard, but they are rare, and I knew I was not one of them. With the exception of compositions and improvisation, playing music is a strange mixture of a given structure, and that means the score, and one's creativity and its interpretation. Being able to play all of the notes is just the beginning. The real work is adding your own self transparently to the composer's intentions. To return to this discipline as a grown-up was deeply humbling, but strangely exciting too. Only a teacher can provide the push that allows the infinite perfectibility of music to take flight." Now, you can apply that really to anything in life. And there's times you have to learn things. And my wife, I know, is a great cook. She teaches, cooking here at Herbert W. Armstrong College. And there are times when she still has to learn things, and she knows that. One thing that really impressed me about this book, this is talking about the master classes, and this is the, Georgie Seebach is teaching this master class about piano, but he brings out an incredible point that he learned from Leonardo, and Leonardo was a great artist. This is page 220 and 221, and it's on the same page that he talks about some people really who are very smart with pianos can't really teach much or learn much because they feel like they know too much. But here was a young Japanese question about, how do you learn to interpret? How do you learn to really do this? And he answers, this is Seebach answers him. He says, "That's a hard question. Leonardo spent years developing a codex of body parts. He drew ears, he drew elbows, he drew hands, he drew all parts of the body in as many different aspects as he could. Then he forgot about it and painted what he saw. You must do somewhat the same." And so here's the point with even art that I'm learning is you need a teacher to go back and teach you the structure. And you have to learn that structure before the improvisation. And this teacher, this art teacher, now I don't have any contact with him because everything's online. But the point is, he's teaching structure. And in some ways, it was frustrating to feel like, well, I had to go back and learn all this structure. But now that I know the structure, I can improvise, and I can improvise better. So that's how Carhartt learned to get rid of his insecurities and inhibitions, is really getting back to discipline and learning those basic structures And then you can really improvise. And so even if you're into sewing or whatever you're into, this book has a lot for you. Now, the last point I want to make, and this is really a pretty simple one, is this is a great book for people who want to learn the art of writing. It's great for writers. So if you're out there, you want to be a writer, you really need to study this book. And specifically, if you want to write a memoir, you can use this as an example. But Carhartt's simple, fluid style is amazing. His description of Paris and people are just astounding. It's like poetry. And as this one chapter he has in the book, he is skilled at le mot juste, and that means just choosing the right word. He's just a master at it. One of the great descriptions in the book, we've given you some in the past. We've talked to you about the metaphors, and we've talked to you about description of Paris. But there's also a woman that he describes in the book, and I just want to take a little bit of time to do this. And this is how he describes Mathilde, and she is the friend of Luke. But if you turn to page 159, he really gives this incredible description of her, and it's just great writing. It says at the top of the page there, it says, Mathilde, whom he referred to as a client and a friend, a short man by the name of Francois with a round face and a halo of curly blonde hair, whom he called Melomane, which means the French word for music lover, and an elegantly dressed older woman, Danielle, whom he introduced simply as a voisine or a neighbor. I poured myself a glass of wine and I listened to the conversation as they took up where I had interpreted. Now he describes Mathilde. Mathilde was talking about the piano she had had throughout her childhood and as a young woman. Somehow this was unclear. I had missed part of the story. She had lost this beloved piano, and she hoped against hope for its return one day. I dream of finding it again. The image of that keeps coming back. Is the one day I'll just open a door and it will be there. Now he's quoting her. But here's the great description. Her features were inexpressibly sad. She had about her the inconsolable sense of frustration, shared by everyone who has lost a treasured object. A long silence followed, and then Luke spoke in a voice I had not heard before, low and soothing. He says, "You have to forget that piano. It's gone. We'll find you another." And so again, he's just great with descriptions, great with his descriptions of people. And so if you want to be a great writer, I believe if you have the time, please spend an ample amount of time with this incredible memoir. Well, looks like we're running out of time. So next time, we will begin discussing Country Driving, A Chinese Road Trip by Peter Hessler. And I'm hoping to be able to announce some special things we're going to do with this book. But please come to China with me. It'll be worth the trip. So please write me any comments you may have to jbl@pcog.org. You can follow JBL on Twitter @JBLiterature1, and you can also follow JBL on Facebook. That address is facebook.com/justthebestliterature. Now, remember, you can leave me a comment at Facebook. So until the next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.